Well, I think that the question of Zimbabwe and of what happens to that country has always been limited to people who are keenly interested in Africa. And, you know, getting interest in Washington in what was happening, what is happening in Africa in general and Zimbabwe in particular, was difficult in the best of times. And, of course, these are not the best of times. We have troubles in Russia and Ukraine. We have the Chinese market meltdown. We have the presidential cycle, which is about to take off. So I think that there really isn't very much interest in what is happening in Zimbabwe at present. And as a consequence, I don't think that there's going to be certainly any policy initiatives emerging from the United States over the next couple of years towards Zimbabwe.
Even as you say that, there was a lot of interest when the U.S. was looking into Zimbabwe more intently, of course, at the time when former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai was at the helm, and then things did fade down. But now many are wondering, with the onset now of the former Finance Minister Tendai Biti as the leader of the PDP, and then also the former Vice President, who seemed to have really gotten the U.S.'s attention, at least in terms of a possible successor, also seeming to be joining the political fray, that there might be renewed interest in Zimbabwe. You don't think?
Yes. I would be very cautious about this. At the time when the MDC was rising and Tsvangirai was being beaten up and mistreated by the Mugabe regime, you know, people were looking at Zimbabwe as a with hopefulness. In other words, here was a country which still had very high levels of education, a lot of very smart people, and a lot of potential. And you know, it was a country that I think a lot of people in the international community felt like was worth saving. We are at a very different stage in terms of how people look at Zimbabwe now. People think of the country as basically a failed state, as they look at the economy as essentially a destroyed economy. Not so much that, you know, the infrastructure and everything else has deteriorated because, of course, the troubles have now continued for 15 years. But more that, you know, so much of the human capital has left. A lot of very smart Zimbabweans have now gone overseas, established their homes and their livelihoods elsewhere. They're not going to come back to Zimbabwe, even if things improve. The rule of law has now deteriorated to a point where it is very difficult to imagine that Zimbabwe will ever bounce back, you know, in terms of private property rights and so on. And also coherence and the integrity of the electoral system, I think, may have been broken to a very large extent. And so people don't necessarily look at Zimbabwean elections as being truly significant or truly indicative of anything. So when people look at somebody like Joyce Mujuru, somebody who is who has been complicit in some Mugabe's greatest crimes, somebody who has never spoken against corruption, malfeasance, misgovernance, why should anybody think that Joyce Mujuru is getting into politics for any other reasons but self-enrichment and power grabbing? No, I don't think people look at Joyce Mujuru as a breath of fresh air. She is deeply tainted with her past association with the Mugabe regime, and she's definitely not somebody that the United States should put great hopes in.
Now, some had thought that the former finance minister, Tendai Biti, was a breath of fresh air. He was credited with doing some real miracles or near miracles with the economy at the time, and that his coming in now could be at least that light that they were looking for. You don't agree?
I know Mr. Biti a little bit. I do disagree to some extent about you know, people's perception of him as a miracle maker. The economy has stabilized to some extent during the power sharing agreement, primarily because of the change in currency, the fact that inflation obviously has disappeared as a result of Zimbabwe switching to the U.S. dollar. I don't think that BT has implemented many supply-side reforms that would that would encourage economic growth, large-scale economic growth. And but that's not necessarily his fault. I mean, in order for an economy to function, you have to have a very strong, a very robust rule of law, defense of private property rights, and the MDC never had a chance. I mean, they were, it was a power-sharing agreement. And then, of course, they were completely outmaneuvered. Even if BT was an angel, even if he was an economic genius who could put Zimbabwe back together, do I think that the current rulers of Zimbabwe, the people who matter, the military, the ZANU-PF, Politburo, do I think they're going to permit him to take over at the next election? No, I don't. I think the country is just going to continue to deteriorate. I don't see Mr. Beattie as a prime minister, not simply because I disagree with him on some of his economics, but also because I don't think he's got any hope of becoming a prime minister.
No.
President, sorry.
Got it. Last question. This has to do, if it's anything to go by, of course, the recent visit to Zimbabwe by the Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Shannon Smith, and then also there was a congressional delegation that went to Zimbabwe, all who indicated that Zimbabwe was not off the radar. They still want to engage Zimbabwe. They're watching it closely. So do you not think on that level that there could be a renewed interest in Zimbabwe based on a new leader?
Well, once again, we have no idea who the new leader would be. I mean, it could be Mr. Mugabe's wife. It could be Ms. Mujuru, who is, as I said, a person from the past rather than a visionary thinker of the future. Look, American diplomats, whenever they go to any country, they will say, oh, yeah, you know, America is focusing on this country. We really care about this country. What are they going to say? They're not going to go to Harare and say, Zimbabwe is at best of little importance to the United States. So, you know, it's just a matter of diplomatic language. Every country is important to the United States. That means no countries, really. I mean, you know, it's all the same. But what I think Zimbabwe can rely on is that aid money, which has been flowing into the country to some extent, will continue to flow. But that's not because the United States. If there is an uptick in aid money to Zimbabwe from the United States, it will not be because the United States thinks that Zimbabwe is in a better place economically and politically. It will be because the United States, USAID, and the aid agencies have to spend the money which the Congress allocates to them, right? So our aid agencies have self-interest in pushing as much money out of the door as they possibly can. And, you know, if Zimbabwe suddenly becomes a country that is no longer as sort of toxic as it was during the darkest days of the Mugabe rule, and more money flows there from USAID, then that will be an indicator of really U.S. funding priorities, not necessarily that things are changing in Zimbabwe. And there's one more thing that I want to add. You mentioned investment. And American companies. I can assure you and all your listeners that large-scale Western investment in Zimbabwe is a complete pipe dream, absolute pipe dream, so long as Zimbabwe does not restore the rule of law, so long as Zimbabwe does not restore private property rights, and so long as the indigenization policies remain in place. Why on earth would anybody want to invest $1 million or $10 million if tomorrow he or she could lose all of that investment or have to give 51% to the locals just because of the color of their skin? It's insanity. And everything that's been happening in Zimbabwe since 1999 has been a completely self-inflicted wound. And I don't see any changes under the Mujuru presidency or in the short term. So I'm afraid I have become a bit of a skeptic following the end of the power sharing agreement.
Mm-hmm. Now, just as an aside question, do you, as Cato, foresee yourselves extending an invitation to either Mrs. Joyce Mujuru or Mr. Tendai Biti? as you did Mr. Changirai?
Mr. Beatty, certainly. Ms. Mujuru, I think that it would be either her or me at Cato. But I certainly couldn't imagine me being in the same building as her. I mean, this is a, as I said, a woman who is deeply, deeply linked to some of the worst abuses of the Mugabe regime. She's not a leader that any self-respecting think tank, in Washington, D.C. should work with. When it comes to Mr. Beatty, we'll be very happy to engage him in any fashion he likes, if he likes. It is up to him, obviously, to reach out to people he wants to talk to, not for us to decide.